This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hadfield. Joining me this week is Tina Amini.
Hello.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey.
And Mark Medina.
Hi.
And we've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about Battlefield 5. We're going to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. But first, GameScoop 500 is imminent, and you can get your ticket to the big show right now. Mark and I have been working on this quite a bit, lately.
It's going to be...
This is Mark.
Yeah, this is Mark. That's me. Yeah.
It's coming up October 5th for 500. That's why I picked that day.
It worked That's out. Good.
Not we're because good. It was the first Friday of October.
October 5th.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So it can be Halloween themed.
Yeah. Well, maybe a little bit.
It could be Halloween themed any month of the year.
It could be a Halloween kickoff, Halloween season kickoff party.
Autumn colors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We all have to dress in autumn colors.
I think I'm wearing autumn colors right now.
I do that every day already.
It's true. I should
be wearing summer colors. Not even September yet, Sam. Anyway, Mark, GameScoop 500, people can get tickets right now.
They can.
Where do they get those tickets?
Right here on this website, GameScoop500live.eventbrite.com.
One more time.
GameScoop500live.eventbrite.com.
All right, tickets are $15. They're limited to 100.
Yeah.
100 super fans.
That's cheaper than a feature-length movie in San Francisco.
That's actually true.
That's depressing.
and your ticket gets you a seat, it gets you food, and then we're going to have an exclusive t-shirt that is not going to be available anywhere else.
None of that. You would get that with a movie.
You don't need to get That's any true. Of that stuff.
I think the shirt alone is probably worth $15.
If you come out of a movie with a t-shirt, you've done something wrong.
anyway, so... Hit up that link that Mark read out, and we look forward to celebrating with you all in just a little over a month. It's coming right up.
It's going to be fun.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Do you remember what episode 2 was about?
No, I don't. Yeah. It had been still June 2006.
Because last week I asked, well, this is weeks ago now, because you guys have been world traveling, but I asked you what episode 1 was about.
Yeah.
But episode 2.
So, yeah, we talked about how episode 1, this is June 2006. Mm-hmm. The Wii was not out yet. The PlayStation 3 was not out yet.
Yeah, and they still weren't out. So, same topics.
Yep, so we're probably just talking about the same stuff. Yeah.
But maybe the summer of arcade was that summer.
Mm-mm.
No, okay.
I still remember people lining up for the Wii. Like, days in advance?
It took me two weeks of calling every morning to finally get one.
So you did and it the smart way.
Well, yeah. But then when I finally got one, I realized I would rather have a 360 instead, so I changed pretty quickly.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it would be cooler than what it was.
What about that Twilight Princess?
Wii Sports was really fun.
It was really fun. That's it brought families together.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Yes, it did. I think we had a great time with Wii Sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess you had to play Perfect Dark Zero.
Whatever.
Sam, did you say you waited in line for 12 hours?
12 hours or more. I went at 10. No, 10 a.m. So it was 10 a.m. and I got in line. I was like 19 and 18 with my my friend's brother, and I was waiting there. And I waited in line all day until midnight when the games were coming in, when the systems came in. And throughout the day, they kept on saying we're only getting 20.
Oh, wow.
I was, you know, 18, 19. I was confident, but a little bit worried about that. And as I waited, the line backed up to 120 or something. Just got longer and longer and longer. And at that point, Walmart stopped telling people that. And they just, so what they did was they had us walk through and we all bought a Wii. It was so awesome. And then at midnight.
So you were one of like the first 20 people on
the line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was 18 and 19 with my friend. And then we were waiting in line and got the Wii. And then the people behind us, they still walked them through. They're like, well, we're out of the consoles, but you can buy nunchucks. And they did.
And anything to be close to the Wii.
They bought copies of Zelda. They bought nunchucks. Which it became short supply, and then they didn't have a Wii console, so it's like
they came
Walmart's
out on top later.
Totally worked.
They traded nunchucks for Wiis later. You know, that's
maybe they're able to trade up.
What month was this that it came out in again?
November.
November. Yeah, that's right. I got it as a birthday gift. Cold. November baby. My brother's called like five different stores. They didn't wait on any lines, but it was a lot of fun.
I've only waited for two console launches, PS4 and Switch.
Well, and the Switch one happened before that, before Wii, remember? That was even worse.
See, I didn't. I was like,
The short supply was so worse.
When did PS3 come out?
Yeah, it was right before the
Wii. It was the same month.
So in 2006, though. Yeah. See, I was in high school. Like, I did not have money for a PS3.
Well, they're $600? Those are
so, it's like a fine steak, all right? Maybe you want to get a burger console.
But you went out and got a second job for it, right?
I didn't even have one job. I was in high school.
These were all things that Sony told people to do. When
go out and get a second job.
And believe me, the one that was $800 was in greater supply than the one that wasn't.
Oh, I don't think it was $800. $600.
Was it 600?
Yeah. But still, that's crazy.
Oh, I'm thinking of 80 gigabytes.
Anyway, that's a look back at 2006.
Who would have thought this game, this episode would have been about PS3?
That's all you have for Game Scoop Episode 2.
Yeah. Moving on to 2018 games, one of this fall's biggest releases has been delayed. Battlefield 5 pushed back a month, pushed entirely out of October into November.
Yep.
Were you surprised?
Why smart?
Because it's out of the way of Red Dead and also Call of Duty, but I mean Red Dead mostly.
So
you don't want to be going.
They
want to
be in the way of Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now you can potentially buy one, save your money, buy the other one.
Yeah.
If you were inclined to. That audience is, I don't think it's as split as people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think it's the same audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, so previously it was coming out in October alongside Black Ops 4, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's coming out November 20th. There is no direct competition for the entire month of November or December, I don't think.
Yeah, it's nice. It's smooth sailing through November.
What if Rockstar decided to move Red Dead to November?
Oh, my God.
I would have so much fun with that, just chasing each other across the year.
But we're just going to take out Battlefield. That's the goal.
One goal in life.
Yeah. But Pokemon's out at the end of that month.
Yeah. So what? Yeah.
What else is out going to
fall out? So
this
76
is what.
Is
hold on. This is what November looks like right now. November 13th is Hitman 2 and the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And then November 14th is Fallout 76.
Yeah.
The 16th is Pokemon Let's Goes. Both of those Let's Goes. The 20th is Battlefield 5. And the 27th is Darksiders 3. Remember that one? It's coming out.
Yep.
1 week after Battlefield 5.
Yeah.
And like 1 week before Smash and
Just Cause 4.
Just Cause 4, yeah.
Those are the December games.
Those are the bigger December games, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then was there a little bit of detail to why they delayed it that they gave?
It's apparently because of feedback they've gotten from the playable demos at E3 and Gamescom.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They need a little bit more time to come.
And we have a beta next week.
The beta is still happening, yeah.
They're still testing.
A month is not that long.
No.
To make any sort of massive changes.
Yeah, you'd think they'd be going gold.
Polishing. Yeah.
Which is an industry term I should stop using on shows like this. That just means the discs are ready to be printed.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is antiquated now that there's digital versions anyway.
Because with day one patches.
But the concept is still the same. Yeah, it's like it's shippable.
It's kind of like that idea that this is now done.
Yeah.
We've printed the disc. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you think 6 weeks out from its original date, that's I would think they'd be done by now.
Yeah.
It's just the game should be done.
That's polish, if anything. You know? Yeah.
It's crazy.
But, EA cannot afford another fiasco like Battlefront 2.
Like Battlefront. Mm-hmm. There's some burn from last year. Yeah.
They can't. This Battlefield 5 has to be good to go right out the gate. So, if they need another month, I guess it's a little understandable.
Sure.
Now, a lot of our staff is playing Battlefield in beta, and I haven't heard tremendous criticism of how it plays.
No, Duggan and Destin have been playing it a lot, and they seem to like it a lot.
So it's in closed beta right now? Is that what it is?
Well, it starts, so it's in no beta right now, but next Tuesday is when it goes into like an open.
Okay.
This was their last final push.
And yeah, then, they did two weekends of a more closed one.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe it is, but yeah, next weekend is like the big one where like basically everybody can play the game. Like one of the maps, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does free up October a little bit.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of glad for it. Yeah. Because it's like, there's just so much coming out in October that that's anything true. That leaves October and enters November, I'm a little grateful for.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. Yeah, from a personal perspective, because we have to play pretty much all of these games, so.
I am surprised that they're separating a month from Call of Duty. Like, that's.
Surprise?
Yeah, just because it's like, you know, not last year, but maybe 2 years ago, they kind of sandwiched in Battlefield 1 and Titanfall. So it was like Titanfall, Call of Duty, Battlefield 1. So it's like obvious that they're trying to directly compete with Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So then to then give it a month of just like, I don't know. I feel like it's a little weird, but.
Well, maybe it gives it the space to breathe so you don't do the direct comparisons.
Right, exactly.
Well, Call of Duty did this. Right. Of course, it's going to happen anyway, but.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it's like to be on a team that's suddenly like, you guys have another month to work on this.
And they thought they're going to get to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe they're grateful, like, though.
You have to work on this.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe they're like, grateful. Like, there was that one thing they really wanted to do, and they decided to cut it. But, you know, now that they have another month.
I would hope that, like, creatively they could get more stuff in their game that they want to get in, and then now maybe they can actually enjoy Halloween. Like us on Game Scoop.
Yeah, they won't be October 5th. You know, reviews and whatever else.
We will be in full costumes for the taping of...
On August 5th. Yeah. On October 5th, October 5th. Rather.
Really?
No.
Oh, come
well,
on.
Well, maybe we will. I don't know. You got to come and find out.
You can't promise that and then not deliver.
Oh, yeah. It's also a costume party.
So. I'm going to have to be Eventbrite. Maybe they'll be in costume.
Maybe, maybe not.
No promises.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier to promise candy.
Always thinking practically, Sam. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Do you think EA moved Battlefield 5 because it was really worried about Mega Man 11? Coming out in October.
Direct competitors.
They read some tweets from Damon.
They both
and they were like, oh, crap.
There's a lot of shooting in both those games.
Yeah.
There is. Different perspective, though.
Not so many robot monsters in Battlefield.
And it's not a
that
first,
we know of.
We don't know.
First person shooter because Mega Man's a robot.
He is a robot.
It's a first. It could be a first robot shooter.
But it's not.
There have been third robot shooter versions of Mega Man.
He was Dr. Wily's first robot. Nope, Proto Man.
That's not true.
Proto Man
was the first robot shooter of Mega Man.
Hey, we didn't plan a lot of topics for this game.
Oh, yeah, this game scoop's coming in hot. Plus, we're shooting this first thing in the morning.
Yes.
The coffee hasn't kicked
we're
in.
We're basically suggesting that Mega Man 11 is a direct copy of Battlefield 5 or 6 or whatever the new one's called.
Mm-hmm. Five. It's 5.
It's 5. Yeah. I care so much about shooters.
The reason why I bring up Mega Man 11, besides the fact that I'm super stoked for it and we're just about a month away from it now, is that a new Robot Master was just announced. Sam, did you hear about this new Robot Master?
Is it a lady?
It's not. Nope. It's another man.
Couldn't go with their second Robot Master lady.
Nope.
Okay.
So there, no. It's another man. It's another blank man. Right. Do you know which one this is? How many like nouns
balloon
have not
man.
Been used?
I like Balloon Man.
He floats on balloons.
How about
a very catchy song called Balloon Man by Robin Hitchcock.
How about
I love that song. I'm
it's not Splosion Man because somebody already used that.
Can't use Splosion Man.
Can't be Pac-Man.
Nope, not Pac-Man.
I'm all out.
It's Impact Man.
Whoa,
that was so close.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
That was surprisingly close.
Phonetically, anyway.
So what does Impact Man do?
Here's the description. Anti-Pac-Man. Here's the description from Capcom. It's time for
That's
some
terrible.
Heavy metal.
Oh, my God.
Joining the four previously revealed Robot Masters for Mega Man 11, the large and in charge Impact Man has assembled an army of building bots at an old construction site, and it's up to Mega Man to tear down his ambitions. A dedicated robot who likes to see a job through to the end, Impact Man is focused solely on spiking Mega Man into the ground permanently.
So he's based on large construction equipment.
Yeah, it appears to be that way.
And he sounds no nonsense.
Yeah.
So he's a Cat 5. That's what they call.
Oh,
what?
The big the big loaders.
The yellow, yeah.
The caterpillar.
Yeah. What are the little Mega Man enemies that have the little helmets that are in every game?
I should know the name of
them. They have a name. I know.
But yeah,
I think Cat 5 is an internet cable.
Yeah, and it's just Cat. I like that came to me, and I was like,
Well, there is caterpillar construction.
Yeah,
they're called cats. Yeah, not Cat 5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went internet.
I think those little construction workers are going to be really cute to see.
Oh yeah, they're gonna be animated.
There's like a little, you guys know the little hard helmet characters in Mega Man.
Yeah, I love those.
Like they have those helmets for a reason. It's because Impact Man.
Now I'm sure the
setting up the lore.
Be some back, yes.
Yeah, well, and safety unions.
I look forward to reading. So the name of those characters in the comments.
So is a special movie just like creates impact on you?
Seriously, is it emotional impact?
She's like Mega Man, well, you're garbage. You're like, oh,
the weapon. The weapon you get from him is called the pile driver.
Okay.
Sounds like a wrestler.
An emotional pile driver.
Yeah.
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 This all works. It checks out.
Mm-hmm.
There's also in other Mega Man news this week.
More Mega Man news.
To celebrate the 30th anniversary of Mega Man, which was last year, Capcom is releasing, you ready? Are you ready for this? A gold figure, a solid gold Mega Man figure.
Isn't it like $25,000?
Yeah, exactly. It's solid gold.
No, it's $22,000.
Oh, that's so much better. That's a bargain.
That
would have
been ridiculous.
But it means it is solid gold.
It is solid gold. It's literally, I'm not making this up. You can pre-order this right now. $22,000.
You should, because gold is one of the best investments that you can make terms of value.
We don't offer investment advice on this show. just our personal
unofficially.
Can I drive the figure? Opinions.
As a disclaimer.
Thank you.
But if you were to buy gold, why go with ingots? Get Mega Man.
That's true.
Yeah, why go with
stack
gold?
Them in your closet.
Look at gold bars.
Gold.
Yeah,
bars. Come on.
The ironic thing is, I don't think there's even been a gold man. But now they turned Mega Man into the gold man.
That's true.
Yeah. They were waiting for this moment for the 31st anniversary.
31st to celebrate the 31st anniversary.
Has there been a money themed robot boss?
I don't think so.
Goldman would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the level designs
for
itself.
Austin Powers. Yeah. So you can't really.
Yeah, that's true too.
That was Gold Member.
It is.
Oh, that is Gold
Member. Yeah.
But like a Fort disgusting. Knox boss.
Which one?
Yeah.
Like a Fort Knox boss. Have you guys ever seen Goldfinger, the James Bond movie?
Yeah.
I really like how the plot in that is like to irradiate all the gold in Fort Knox. That's like a really clever idea. And then the rest of the movie is just crazy.
We do not condone crime either. Yeah.
I like those old James Bond movies. $22,000, the gold Mega Man figure. You can pre-order it right now. There is a cheaper version that's only about $7,000, though.
What is it made out of, silver?
I think it's just a smaller solid gold.
It's just
I see. They could have done gold plating. Like, why does it need to be solid gold?
You need one of those on the full chain.
I was gonna say the smaller one could be a necklace.
That would be heavy. Yeah,
the big chain. So.
I don't know
for
how
7,000. No way. That's got to be more than.
Now my wife knows what she's getting for her anniversary.
It's like a ring with Mega Man.
It's just a giant Mega Man.
In more affordable Mega Man news, both Legacy collections are on sale for the Switch. The Switch versions are on sale until September 5th, and I heartily recommend those.
I love this idea.
Third Mega Man news story.
Yeah.
I love this idea that David needed a quick game scoop, went to Capcom.com, and was like, there it
is. What's going on?
There it is.
That's actually probably pretty accurate. Damon, what's your process?
I sit right next to Mark. He looks at my screen.
Is this episode 497?
Something like that. I don't know.
You can't count backwards from the.
I think
it's
maybe 496. Okay. I think this is 6, maybe.
All right. We're building to a big 500.
We're building to a big Halloween costume party.
Mega Man.
If there's Mega Man
only.
News at October 5th, it's gonna be so good.
I mean, Mega Man 11 is gonna be out then. So it's basically just going to be a big Let's Play.
We're just going to play
a live
Mega
Let's Play of Mega Man 11.
We could all pick a Mega Man costume to wear.
Yep.
Cool.
Or we could just do the Blue Man group.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing.
That's
true. The Blue Bomber Man group.
Yeah.
Mark, do you think we could get the Blue Man group to come to GameScoop 500?
I'll tweet at them.
Okay.
But,
because that would be a steal. I guarantee you.
Why not? They only
tickets
do Vegas
to the Blue
anymore.
Man group cost more than $15.
I think it would mean more for them if you showed up at their house.
Yeah. Well, we just
in
bring the whole audience
costume.
To their house.
Yeah.
In other
guys, it's coming.
In other news about old games that really only I care about, Streets of Rage 4 was announced recently, and I was very surprised to hear this news. Streets of Rage, those first three games, they're really, really good. These are brawlers on the Sega Genesis. And I actually only played them recently when I was reviewing the new Sega Genesis collection.
Oh, I didn't realize.
And I was like stunned by how good these brawlers are.
Where do you put them in the, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Simpsons, Final Fight pantheon?
I don't know about Final Fight. Final Fight is also very good from Capcom. But I think better than the Simpsons arcade game, mm-hmm. just because they're designed for consoles and they're like, they're not just like quarter munchers.
Yeah. We all know they're better than Double Dragon.
They're fully flipped.
A little bit more to them. Yeah, when you revisit Double Dragon, it's not as fun as it used to be. These games hold up better, I think.
So there's a little clip of the game.
Teaser trailer, announcement
20
trailer.
20 second, not even like a 10 second.
And it was cel shaded or like animated.
Yeah, it's like hand-drawn animation. Yeah, it looks really nice. But I just wonder, you know, there's a lot of retro genres that have been revived, like Metroidvanias. Mm-hmm. But brawlers aren't really... like
there was a really bad Final mm-hmm. Fight and a really bad Double Dragon.
Mm-hmm. So Double Dragon 4 came out a year ago or something, maybe more. Yeah, and it sucked.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what it takes for a brawler to be like fun and engaging today. And last more than...
Castle Crashers is what it takes. Did you guys play Castle Crashers? Mm-hmm.
The Castle Crashers really itself is 10 years old now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like the two big modern examples is Castle Crashers and Scott Pilgrim. And those are both
Scott Pilgrim
super old.
Scott Pilgrim is good. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate, a game that's lost now, I think, because it was Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and I think for licensing issues, it was like pulled, and like you can't get that game now, I don't think.
Hmm. A good 3D brawler from the past century was the Warriors.
People really like the Warriors. That was a Rockstar game. Mm-hmm. I never played that one, but people do speak highly of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The main thing I can add to this conversation is that we watched the trailer on her phone, and she has the loudest phone speaker.
It was very loud.
Is it really loud?
It was very
loud.
It was
actually
loud.
Kind of piercing, yeah. But what? Not in like a good, exactly. Not in like a good audio quality way. I should have cupped the speaker.
That would have been worse.
But there's some pretty good like cheesy 80s like butt metal
music
going on in that trailer.
Yep. Yeah.
Loudest phone ever.
I do think it takes a little bit of RPG elements and building up your characters and, you know, kind of expanding them and then some way to kind of cycle through the game again. Otherwise, it's you're putting your quarters just like you did back in the day. And
didn't
you
hear replayability is a dirty word?
Mm.
Who said that?
Behind.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
I saw that headline, but I don't know in what context.
Well, because it's described as like a feature, and he was just going against the idea that a game needs to be replayable to be valuable, which I agree with.
Yeah.
But because he makes giant games that you can play for so long.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like the idea of replayability for a game like Spelunky is really important.
Yeah. He also said, technically speaking, any game is replayable, which like, yeah, you can start from the beginning and play.
I think the idea that like
the ability,
it's like rewatching
adds,
a movie.
Like, is it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah. People say stuff like Heavy Rain and stuff like that is not replayable. And it's like, that doesn't make it not good.
Right.
I think that, you know.
And you've played it like, what, 60, 70 times?
Have you?
I'm a Beyond Two Souls boy.
Just want to go through all the dialogue options.
I think that term goes way back to like video game magazines.
It totally is from Super Nintendo and stuff.
And it was like the idea that like, you know, like kids didn't have infinite money to spend on games. So it's like, how much value are you getting out of this one game?
Which now I think the importance is placed on like, is it a 100-hour game? Not necessarily like, what's the new game plus about? Because that we don't really see that anymore.
When I think back then, it was like about scores. Like games that didn't even have scores, that shouldn't have had scores, had scores.
Yeah, like Super
Because then it was
Brothers.
Like, yeah, I'm going to replay. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to replay Mario because I'm going to try to get a better score, you know?
Or I guess it's about multiplayer. Like how much fun can you get out of it with your friends who also have the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a somewhat related topic that I gotta share that just occurred to me. But if we're gonna talk about what we've been playing, I'm gonna get to it then.
I didn't have that planned into.
All right, let me just tell the story real quick. I've been working on this game, this PlayChoice 10 machine. I got a second one, and I have it on location. You can play it in San Francisco at Free Gold Watch if you want to play
Amazing.
It.
Amazing.
But I put a bunch of games in it last night, and I've never run these for quarters before. This was a game that they put Nintendo games in before they came out, so it's a preview machine that you'd put in our.
And they were they actual cartridges?
No,
put
they're
in there?
Special okay. versions of games. They come on these little things, these little boards, and they have different differences. Like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out has battery save; you can put your name in and stuff. Like it's different, and then some of them have just changes. But the funniest thing is that Nintendo. What you do you put in? You could set like how many minutes you get per quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can play Nintendo for 10 minutes for like a quarter, you know. And so kids would do that in the arcade. But Nintendo didn't put a counter up that says how much time you have left. No. They just put a counter So for a quarter, it just says 300, and then it goes 300, 200, 900. It goes like really, really fast. It's like 299, 298, 297, 296.
Pressure.
It's not seconds. It's Nintendo time. They made up a unit of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
For only
no
Nintendo.
Reason.
I feel like that would panic me. Is that, even if it's like 10,000, it's going down so fast.
It's faster than seconds. And like I was playing Dr. Mario with one of the other arcade operators, and it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Well, so as the operator, that's not a feature you can turn off?
No, that's the only way to pay for the.
But isn't that the same in Mario? Like it wasn't like minutes or whatever? Like,
yeah,
like
that's
the
right.
level.
That's what
that,
like,
very
of it.
Slow
yeah.
time.
It would just say like 180 or whatever.
That's very slow time.
Yeah. It's Nintendo time.
It's
what is this? It's so funny.
Free Gold Watch is the coolest arcade in San Francisco. And if you're planning on making a trip here for GameScoop 500, you could stop by and play some of Sam's machines. Sam operates machines in that arcade.
Yeah, and to not make it conflict of interest, also Emporium is a really good arcade bar in town.
Well, it's big.
Yeah, it's big. I like their pinball selection.
They actually have a great beer selection.
Yeah, and then Brewcade is the other like arcade with machines.
Yeah.
GameScoop 500 live.eventbrite.com.
There you go.
I'm just here to deliver the sponsored message.
And then real quick before we move on, we were talking about replayability, and that's a word that's used a lot in our circles. But do you know that I'm not even sure replayability is a real word?
Like if you type it out, does it come out as in there?
It's like I've searched it in a few online dictionaries, and it shows up in some of them, but not others. So I don't know if it's actually like recognized.
Well, I mean, think about it. Is the word playability? Oh, that's not a word.
I don't know.
So replayability.
It might just be a word that that we made up in our.
Multiplayer is not a word either.
Yeah.
That's single player.
Mm-hmm. I think the idea is like, replay dash ability. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Ray tracing. Someone just made that up.
Yeah, they did.
Technically, all words were made up.
Yeah, who is
that's
Ray
true.
Tracing?
That's absolutely true.
The
that's
brain,
true.
The brain
named itself.
And where, Damon's where brain just went.
Why do you guys both know that quip?
Because it's so.
What's
cool.
that from? What is that from?
I don't know. I read it somewhere.
Technically, the brain did name itself.
Named itself.
Well, if you cool, think right? about it.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've just never heard that. I thought that must
and
be
like,
from
it, like scoop. It's like. What is it? And then it totally makes sense.
It does.
It totally did make.
Like it makes you laugh, and then you're like, wait.
Did
the brain named itself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let it sink in for a second.
Did Pokemon name themselves?
That is the name of this episode.
Yeah. How did Pokemon get their names? Ash just named all.
They only say their names except for Meowth. So.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, and Mew, right? Mewtwo.
Do you remember the brain boss in Life Force?
Oh, yeah.
It has the arms, and they can go like like around itself, and it has a big eye.
Single eye.
Anyway. Yeah. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey
listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Julian did. Julian says, first, I want to thank you for an awesome show. Each week I look forward to the great discussion and genuine fun you guys exude on the podcast. Keep up the great work.
We haven't had any fun today.
No. As a kid, when I had more time and fewer games to play, it's fewer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tend
nailed it.
Para would be very proud of you. I tended to 100% games and really get everything out of them that I could. But now that I'm in my mid-30s with little time to spare, but enough resources to buy whatever game interests me, look at Mr. Moneybags over here, I struggle with not being able to finish a game. Recently, I played God of War for the PlayStation and really forced myself to just stay focused on the core story, not do any side quests or collectible hunts. I was able to finish an amazing and very satisfying game, but I feel guilty that I didn't see it all, but at least I finished it. In your opinions, what is worse, not finishing a game because you were trying to see and do it all, or pushing through an amazing game, never to appreciate all the finer details? Have you guys struggled with the guilt of not finishing what you started in a game?
So this is so totally relatable to me because I was pushing through God of War, and there were moments where I, you know, stumbled upon like a dragon or some kind of boss, and it was incredibly difficult, and I felt like maybe I'm meant to go do other things and come back. But I got sidetracked from coming back because I wanted to finish the story. And honestly, towards the end, as much as I was enjoying it, I also felt the pressure of like, yet another night I have to sink in to playing this thing, and it's detracting from whatever social or work life that I have to also balance alongside of it. So it's very relatable. But to actually answer the question, I feel like it's to each their own, and also to the game specifically too. I felt that for God of War, there was more value in finishing the main story than there was exploring the side stuff. In Skyrim maybe, or like The Witcher 3, maybe some of the side stuff is more interesting to explore and be a part of that conversation instead of the overall storyline. But with God of War, all the conversations were about the main story.
I feel like there's a money aspect that you have to look at. Like I spent money on this, I should get as much as I can. I'm going to ignore all of that and just say the last game I 100%ed was Assassin's Creed Origins. And one of the trophies...
That's impressive.
Yeah,
I got the platinum trophy. Huge. And one of the trophies is called... I forget. Anyways, that trophy alone... it's called the Old Habits. And that trophy alone is like a 30-hour trophy. It's crazy, every marker on the map. So every little thing that Bioshock has to do, they all have to go away. And that trophy took like 30 hours. And I did it, and I thought to myself, I should have stopped when I was still having fun.
You regretted it.
Because
that's funny.
I was like, I did not have fun these past like 20 hours. And so that was kind of my thing, is like, why force yourself to do something if games are meant to be enjoyed, and if you're not enjoying it anymore.
This is something we come back to frequently on GameScoop. Like, you don't owe the game anything. You don't owe the game your time. So,
Well, it's like if you buy a meal and you enjoy it and you're full, do you have to finish it to get your money value out of it? You know, I mean, you're being served what someone else is deciding might be like the range of what you want to eat, but you know, you can decide for yourself when
you feel
satisfied.
But it's like, this steak was $30. I'm not wasting a morsel of it.
That's why you just get a dog and take leftovers home for it.
I stuff my beaks and save for winter. sometimes I feel the obligation to the game.
You do,
some, why? Some situations. And it's only when I truly love a game so much that I want to see every aspect of
that
it.
That sounds different. Like, you're just enjoying it,
it
then, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, it is. It's more like it's enjoying it, not for playing it, but for the research and experience and, like, kind of just, like, absorbing of it.
Well, obviously,
like,
you're the Wikis guy.
that turned me off to, like, collecting things while I was working on games so much. Like, that really broke me. But for a game like, say, Ocarina of Time, like, if there's, like, you know, a seam break or something you can do, see something weird in the game, you know, that was more in Majora's Mask. I'm in. Like, I totally want to, like just get every corner of that game exposed. I love that.
I guess it depends on the side quests. Yeah, like for, I did that for Final Fantasy X. I couldn't get enough of that game. I wanted to explore every single inch of that game. And so I wanted everyone's special weapons, and it didn't feel complete unless I got them.
Did you get Waka's special weapon?
I got everyone's special weapon. Every single one. It was the only game I actually used a strategy guide for.
This is 10?
So that's
I love
I
Final Fantasy X, but Waka's special weapon is one that I've never gotten it, and I never will.
It's ridiculous. It takes a long time. All of them do.
That feeling of getting everything is also the same feeling that people have when they write facts or strategy guides or wikis. You know, this has been, that culture's been around for 25 years now. Like, Game Facts was, you know, as early as IGN was. And the people that were doing these early text guides and sending them to IGN and Game Facts were, like, just doing this for fun because they wanted to, like, seriously, like, blow up a game and break it down. And it just, that's part of, like, my brain for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, if I really love something, I want to, like, just make something of it. You know, and kind of explode it and see all of its parts.
I kind of approach movies I like in the same way, because if I like a movie, I buy the Blu-ray and I watch the director's commentary and I watch all the special features, and I just want to
about to say the same thing. Is like, I love Titanic so much that I got the 4-disc version.
That.
So I can watch all the behind the scenes and the director's commentary, and it's like, it's just more reason to live in this world that somebody else has created.
I've never seen the Titanic, so.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We have to have
Will
a
you
night?
Tell me what happens?
It opens with a shot. You know, one of the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 zombies maps takes place on the Titanic. Mm.
That's a boat, right?
That it is.
Yes. A big boat.
What were you going to say?
It's the same with Game of Thrones. I feel like I don't really care about the, what do they call them? Like the aftercuts or whatever, where they discuss
the talking
inside
Game of Thrones. Exactly. Yeah. Talking Game of Thrones. That's what they call theirs. So I never really care about those. But for Game of Thrones, I always did, because after each episode, I'd sit and kind of internalize and think about what the characters just did, what their motivations must have been.
Yeah.
And so I want more information. Mm-hmm. So for Game of Thrones, when I watch Talking Thrones and they're talking about like how they directed that actor for that one particular scene, what they were going for, how it compares to the book, like, it's all extra information that I feel brings a greater amount of depth to something that I love. Mm-hmm. But in some cases, with some side quests and some games, I don't know, a lot of them are fodder. Like, it's not really, they're not really interesting to go on. Yeah. But then you have something like any GTA, or, you know, you want to explore more of the world to get a feel for it, because that's part of the experience. Whereas a game of a God of War feels like it's just the core storyline to me,
right,
and to most of the chatter that I've seen online.
Yeah, I think that's right. I like checking out side quests, but if I ever start to feel like I'm just spinning my wheels, then it's like, all right, let's get back on track. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what happened with Fallout 4. I feel like a lot of the side stuff is just like, wait a minute, this side quest is never going to end. You're going to keep spinning up new objectives for me.
The railroad wants so much from me.
All right, this is Justin in Imperial, Missouri. says, I've been gaming as long as I can remember, and never in all my years have I amassed a backlog like I have now. I really don't know where to begin with it. Every time a game I've been looking at is on sale on the Switch eShop, I grab it. I have a Gamers Club unlocked membership with Best Buy. That's good until next March, and every time I see a game on sale with Best Buy, I grab it, and then extra 20% off while I can. I don't know if it's just my age, 33, and lack of free time that's making me purchase all these games with the hopes that I'll have some free time and dive into them. I don't know, I'm getting married in October. My lady thought, Damon looks like a sports announcer when she saw me watching the show the other day. Everyone else, she said, looked like they belonged on a video game podcast. Her words, not mine. Sports announcer is not something...
I'll take it.
Sports announcer is not something I've gotten before. I could never... I'm not a sports guy. Anyway, I've been working on a ton of overtime this last year or so. I don't have time, but I do have the games. Have you all ever felt like you were just drowning in games? Yeah, that's,
so wait,
that's
he's,
gaming today.
He's working overtime and he's planning a wedding.
Yeah.
There's no time for games.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. You can like play on the subway on your phone or something. Well, he's in Missouri. He's not playing on the subway.
I feel like I could go as a sports announcer too, just from a different era, all right?
Yeah. Maybe weather though.
Yeah.
Weather. Yeah.
You got
it. It's Game Scoop today, all day.
All right, we'll put that in post.
Somebody key that out.
It's so easy to fall back in your backlog, well, like, because it's different. Just, it's constantly growing. You're always going to add to
it's
it.
It's different now because, like, so many games are released every week now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, it wasn't like this. It was much more manageable to keep up with all the big releases. But now it's like, we've talked about this, there's like 30 new games just on the Nintendo Switch every week that are coming out. It's insane.
If you look at the landscape from this very moment, October is nuts. November is getting more nuts. Yeah. And then there's like, I mean, even December's kind of nuts if you really, really like Smash and Just Cause. And then February gets nuts again.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's just no time
for
anything.
You need like a 1 to 10 nuts scale to start.
Next time.
All right. 8 nuts out of 10.
Yep.
October's nuts. October's 10 nuts out of 10 nuts.
Yeah, and traditionally we had reprieve in like January, February, but that doesn't exist anymore. Every month is like a big
month. Oh, it's so good. January and February look great this year. Yep. Backlog. Here's my suggestion.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
This is the collector mentality.
Oh.
Buy as many games as you can. Mm. Don't open them. Ever. Don't ever open them. Never. Not a single game. Right? And really focus on Japanese imports. Focus on low-run games that might be really terrible, that might go on sale for really cheap. Then you put them in your closet, you know, or maybe a fire-safe place. And then you wait 40 years. And then you're going to be rich.
Yeah.
I thought we don't give investment advice here.
These are just my opinions. I would never give investment advice. But if you have room in your Mega Man gold closet... You can pad it with some of these Japanese import games.
How often do you pick up new or Japanese import games that are sealed and that you aren't going to open?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay.
On a scale of how many nuts?
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, I collect old games now that have their boxes and stuff still, and so that's where it really adds up.
Yeah.
Okay, how about genuine advice for backlog?
That was genuine advice.
Was it?
You could buy
but you're not
every
talking about
Wii U
game.
You could get a full Wii U
you're
library.
Saying don't open it.
Yeah, that's right.
The advice I would give is don't buy everything the second it comes out. I was just looking at the PlayStation Plus deals right now. You can get like last year's Mass Effect and Horizon for like
$7. That's a good point. But I personally, like from my personal perspective, I like to be a part of the conversation when it's happening.
That's the tough thing.
Yeah. So I always pick the games that I know that I'm going to be interested in and that there's going to be a community for and that I can like have those conversations in and then is also useful to my job. So those are like my priorities in terms of what I play. But it doesn't, you know, it's, everyone's got different, like if you have a more of a financial priority, that makes total sense to me.
There's somebody that works in this office that he buys every single game full price. He pre-orders every game and then he just doesn't play them. His name is Brandon Hunt. He works on the social media team and he doesn't play the games.
Does he open them?
He buys them all digitally. He pre-orders them digitally. Every time you talk about a game, he's like, oh, I have it on pre-order.
Idea.
And then he never plays them.
He opens them and smells the digital dust.
The smell isn't even as pleasant anymore now. There's no like thick booklets in there.
Yeah, it's not like a new
car
smell.
It's always just like a little insert now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the disc doesn't really smell like anything.
No.
No.
It doesn't smell like anything to me.
Sometimes tastes like things.
The Switch cartridge
doesn't look like anything to me.
The Switch
tastes like a tub of electricity.
A tub of electricity?
Yeah.
Who told you that?
That's from The Office. when Kevin's deciding how to kill someone, he says something about dropping them in a tub of electricity. And that same reaction happens in the episode. They're like, but what exactly is a tub of electricity?
This is a recurring...
A death trap, apparently.
This is a recurring...
This is my last episode. This is my last time on GameScoop, I guarantee it.
This is a recurring theme we're going to keep hearing about on GameScoop this week. This is Riley, and Riley says, like everyone else who follows video games, I watched with eager delight the gameplay reveal for Cyberpunk 2077. The Witcher 3 is one of my favorite games of all time. I spent 3 months sucked into its world and characters, so I was excited to see what CD Projekt Red was up to next. But instead of feeling excited about the next game from one of my favorite developers, I was overwhelmed. I played The Witcher 3 the summer of 2015 when I was a junior in college. I had no job or long-term relationship to drain my time. I had the ability to sit down and immerse myself in that world, but now I work a full-time job, coming home late, exhausted, with my weekends filled with friends and my significant other. I play games about 6 to 7 hours a week, maybe. So seeing the gameplay for this game I've been anticipating since its reveal trailer left me a bit disheartened, as I knew I will never have the time to immerse myself like I did in 2015. Have you guys had that aha moment where you realize that you're getting older and balancing time just isn't on your side anymore? Thanks, and keep being the best there is. This is a problem a lot of our listeners seem to be having these days.
Yeah. And it does come with age.
They're all growing.
At a point in time, you realize like you barely have time to fit in like cooking dinner and having a healthy lifestyle and doing things that are good for you, let alone like dealing with entertainment too at the same time.
I think you told me that you set aside specific hours at night.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like after 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
For gaming?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just try to be like productive, either like creatively productive or spend time with my wife like up until then. And mm-hmm. She goes to bed earlier than me. And then after 10 o'clock, then I can start playing games.
Yeah, that's tough though, because that pushes into your sleep schedule. And when I really am into a game, that's what I'm trading off at this point. Mm.
Trading off
like
sleep.
I stay up too late. And I feel terrible for it, you know?
Yeah, I'll inevitably do the just 5 more minutes, just one more mission.
That turns into 45 minutes so
weird. Oh, so quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it just evaporates. It's really funny.
Yeah, I don't know. By the time I get home, because, you know, we commute here, there's only probably 3 or so hours. So, yeah.
But you play a lot of games at work.
I was going to say, that's true. Mark plays games at work.
That's true.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, some not great games. But some good ones too. Yeah,
so you
I don't know.
A head start, I think, for that way.
I play a lot of games on the weekends.
So I guess for me, I don't mind playing like 10 hours of a game if it's like much longer than 10 hours, because then I get a feel for it. And if I'm not obsessed with it, I don't mind moving on. I quickly will draw my attention somewhere else. And I don't think that that's that bad in terms of like I get a piece of the tiny piece of many games that I'm able to kind of speak to and have experience with, as opposed to like fully playing through one. But that's still a time issue.
I think this game, Cyberpunk, could be seen as a relief, because you don't need to keep up with all the other games that are out around it. Like, get it, you know, play it for 2 or 3 months like you'd watch catch up on a Netflix show.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the best way to look at these now, is that like you can watch all of Star Trek Next Generation, but you're not going to do it in the same time you would have, you know, 20 years ago. You're going to do it like over a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's fine.
This is just something I think every gamer experiences as they get older. You get a job, you maybe get married, you have a social life you want to keep up with. There's all these TV shows and Netflix shows you want to keep up with.
Summers aren't off anymore.
You don't have summers off. God forbid you have some sort of a hobby or creative outlet, like you're in a band or something that you also takes up your time. So yeah, it's just like there's no getting around it. Your time for gaming gets smaller, but it doesn't have to go away entirely.
I think MMOs have kind of always had this problem. I've heard so many times people say, I want to play WoW or Final Fantasy 14 and say, like, they look cool, but I know I won't have time for it. And, like, I know I'll just won't be able to make time for it.
Yeah.
I actually wrote an article about this back when I was at Kotaku about, like, how to balance your life with video games. And I just talked to a bunch of dads. And it was inspired because my oldest brother is a hacker, and he just works, like, day and night, like, literally day and night. He's never not working unless he's eating or sleeping. It's terrifying, and it sucks because I always enjoyed that he really liked Red Dead Redemption was the last game that he played. So now that Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out, I'm telling him, like, just set aside like 1 hour a week, even 1 hour a week, and in like however many months you'll finally be done with it. But it's about prioritizing in that way, is essentially what I and a bunch of the dads that I talked to came up with, is that, you know, you pick the one game that you absolutely want to play, so you can still have your hobby. You won't be as in touch as everyone else is, but you still get that experience in some kind of a way.
That's good advice. And then one more email about Cyberpunk. This is from Adam C. He says, I've been thinking recently, if Cyberpunk 2077 is released and is a massive hit, do we start putting CD Projekt Red in the same quality category as Rockstar? Mm. Will they be able to take the time and spend what they want to make their next title without copying any flack for it, much in the same vein as Red Dead 2? And will other devs start swerving away from Project Red's release dates to avoid getting shoved out of the market? Keen to hear your thoughts. Love the show.
I would say Cyberpunk is as popular as what a Rockstar game is. Like, it's kind of mythical. Like,
yeah.
Cyberpunk, like, it seems like a game that we're never going to get, and we know when we get it, it is going to kind of take over the world.
Yeah, but remember, GTA 5 is, what, the best, the most profitable entertainment thing
in the
ever
top 10
released?
For 5 straight years.
There's a difference between talking about popularity, money made, and then the quality of games. And I
sure,
think we also
like
recognize
the pedigree of
Rockstar is very high. That's and true. I think there's very few developers that have that. And some are very different. Like, Nintendo is that. But they also make a lot of other stuff. And so it's weird. Those companies are comparable because, you know, Rockstar stopped making Max Payne. They stopped making the Warriors. Like, they're just doing our
Well, they got
tennis.
Red Dead.
Yeah, they're just doing these giant GTA and Red Dead games now, you know. And CD Projekt seems to be working on just Witcher and the Cyberpunk games.
Yeah, Rockstar has way more, like, you know, mainstream recognizability than CD Projekt Red could foreseeably have, at least like in the near future. And also, it remains to be seen how extensive the world of Cyberpunk is going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when they show clips of the cityscape and, you know, there are a lot of like NPCs wandering around, like, but what is that engagement to us actually going to be? Like, we're told there are relationship building opportunities and, you know, you have some kind of reputation in the city, but what does that actually mean? And like, how does that compare to like what Rockstar is going to be doing with Red Dead 2 that we keep hearing about and seen and played ourselves?
When the demo came out, we noticed that at the end part where she's doing a bunch of combat, she's using the same gun, but she reloads it kind of differently every time. Like, and we thought about how, like, every game you reload your gun and it always looks the same.
Yeah.
Right. And the fact that she was doing it just a little differently, it wasn't faster or slower, it just looked differently. My desk mate who succeeded me said it's like such a Rockstar thing to have like a little detail like that. It doesn't have to be there, but it does. And that's like kind of like a GTA 5 thing where it's like that game does things that that it didn't have to do.
Sure.
But it did it, and it just makes it that much better. And so it's kind of funny that those comparisons are happening now.
CD Projekt Red has a weird name, and I think that's going to not make them as popular as Rockstar in the end.
Rockstar,
I mean, Rockstar is Rockstar,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then, well, and like, isn't the CD Projekt logo a rooster?
It's some sort of bird, fowl. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's a rooster, but.
Huh. Going back to Game Scoop, huh?
It's some sort of a Polish bird.
Maybe it's a camp goose.
It's probably the camp goose.
Well, and it's tough because it's like
Game Scoop. I forgot about Game Scoop.
Did The Witcher like change the world? Right?
What?
Like,
what do you mean?
Because I would say that GTA 3 kind of changed the gaming world.
Oh, yeah, but you're right. Mm-hmm. But it was also just a high quality, giant open world game. I think is the comparison to Rockstar. Yeah. Not that because CDPR, you know, The Witcher.
I'm just talking about like
too,
brand recognizable, like the fact that they've been around so long. CD Projekt would have a lot of time to they would have a while to catch up to that. Mm-hmm. Where Rockstar's been famous since PS2.
I'm reading The Witcher novels right now, and I'll have a full book report.
Good,
nice. To go back to your details thing, Mark, for an instant. Mm-hmm. So. The cool thing that Rockstar does about details with Red Dead 2 that we saw recently in the last trailer, the gameplay trailer, was that if you shoot a horse, an enemy horse, he'll like topple over. Don't do that. But like, yeah, exactly.
That horse is like,
I mean, he's not involved, you know. But so if you shoot the horse in the leg and it trips over, then the enemy will also trip over. And that's the kind of like detail that's also functional, because like the animation details are cool, but Rockstar delves in details that actually have some kind of impact on how you're engaging with the world. So again, remains to be seen. But
All right, so now this demo that everyone saw at E3 and Gamescom is out there. Everyone's seen it. When do you think this game is coming out?
I think it's like Death Stranding. I think it's a PS5 game.
They're already saying it's not.
They said they are aiming to have it a current generation. Like, I think it's at least like Metal Gear 5. I think it's prominently on PS4 and Xbox One, but there are versions
like
of
right
that
on
game on 360 and PS3.
Oh, I guess I forgot that came out.
What's the
it's weird to think
generation?
About that.
What was Witcher 3's release date?
It's 2015.
2015, yeah.
Come on, guys. That's coming out.
So what, 2019?
Yeah.
Next
so.
Year?
End of?
You think next year?
You think next year? No way.
I think it's going to be announced for October, and then it's going to hit the November.
Of 2020.
Nice Battlefield delay.
I think 2020.
Oh, good birthday gift for me.
I also think the new consoles are coming in 2020. And I think that's when Death Stranding and Cyberpunk are coming out. Is in 2020.
All right.
Man, nuts.
You heard it here first.
When's it coming to Switch?
2021. Just like every Switch game comes out 6 months later.
Super Switch.
Yeah.
Switch 64.
Switch 64.
That's what they went with?
Yeah.
Then the Switch Cube.
And GameCube 1000?
Yeah, it'll be just in time for GameCube 1000.
Switch U.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Which you would be good.
Game Scoop Live 1000 out of Vampire. No, don't go there.
That brings us to video game 20 questions.
We're doing one?
We're doing one.
What?
Oh my God.
Our suggestion this week comes from Matt Ford in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Let questioning begin.
Is it in first person?
Is this game played in first person? No.
Did this come out before
1995?
No.
Oh. Did it come out? I'm going to leave a five-year gap here. Did it come out after 2000?
Yes.
Oh! Thank God.
You ready to guess?
It can't be a Virtual Boy.
Is it?
Damn. I'm going to keep consistent with the theme of the questions and ask if it's on current-gen consoles.
This one
means it was on Xbox 360 and PS3 and potentially also HD remake and on Xbox One and PS4.
Wait, current gen.
Wait. Huh? You said current gen. Does that mean Xbox One, PS4?
Yeah, that's what I considered it. What's current gen?
You just said
360 and PS3.
I know. I'm saying, well, the fact that you hesitated means that it was on 360, PS3.
You're
HD. Yeah, this exactly. Game,
she's reading
I'm
between
decoding
the lines.
His face. Yeah.
This game came out during the current generation of consoles.
But the thing is
released.
Just
making sure.
What that tells us too is that the Switch is hard to tell if it was this current generation because the Wii U launched with the current generation.
Also somewhat the current generation.
All right, so maybe
I think that's a hint.
So you're saying it may also be on Switch.
Yeah,
is the hint.
A PC or Switch game or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to read the hesitation, but yeah.
Did this come out on Switch?
No.
Okay. Well.
That's damn it. What was that?
Is this game first party?
Yes.
Ooh, I did it. Oh, okay. It's last.
Since Justin isn't here, do you wear a hat in this game?
Yes.
You do?
Nice.
Is this made in Japan?
Yes.
Oh. So Nintendo
so
or
it's
Sony.
An RPG.
Yeah.
It's first party, so it has to first be Nintendo party. Or Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just going to.
Well, just Microsoft and anything.
But we know nothing else except that you can wear a hat, so maybe it's an RPG.
Sounds like Captain Toad.
Do it.
Oh, no, that's he wears, on Switch.
He wears goggles.
Oh, yeah, no Switch.
Yeah, but it came out on Wii U.
And it's unclear whether he's wearing a hat or not.
I think they said
he
wasn't.
Wait, what do you mean unclear?
They said it's not a hat.
His head is the mushroom.
His head is the mushroom.
For Cap. Yeah, for Toad, okay. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Sonic without his shoes? Oh, that's so weird.
Whose turn is it to ask a question?
I think it's Sam's.
No, there's no turns.
Oh, there's not? It,
no, you guys just go nuts.
Oh.
Burn it down.
We're so new.
Yeah, we usually go.
I don't pay attention.
You've never noticed that? Usually
yeah, it's always
all I noticed is that Justin asks the hat question first. That's the only thing.
Everyone
that's the only pattern.
Yells out questions.
This has devolved really quickly.
Is this a Sony game?
Sony game? No.
Ooh. Nintendo.
Gotta be. So it's gotta be a Wii U game.
Yeah. Did this come out for the Wii U?
No.
What?
That's 10.
Oh my gosh.
Is this a handheld game?
Wait, it's not on Switch and it's not
it's
on
not on
Wii
Switch,
U.
It's not on Wii U, but it's a first party Japanese game that's current generation.
Oh, is it any of the mobile games?
That he's wearing.
Is it on mobile?
Yes.
Oh my God, is it Super Mario Run?
This.
What was that? Was it what
it's
called?
It could really be.
Good. I think are we only it. Allowed to make one guess? I forgot.
Is this game.
You guessed the game wrong.
Well, we have a lot of questions in there.
Is this game made by Nintendo? Wait, did we ask that?
You don't need to ask that, is why David's giving you.
What if it stars Super Mario Run?
All right, you get this question. Go for it, buddy.
Is this game made by Nintendo?
Yes. I thought we already knew that. But
sure. I didn't know.
Oh, he's twisting the knife.
Well, because ever since Sam decided that the rules weren't switching, he just rapid-fired four questions.
Go again.
Well, it's obviously Super Mario Run because he wears
a hat. Can you stop running in this game?
Can you stop running this game? No.
Yes.
But maybe you can't start running. Okay. And be firing.
Well, so
is Mario in the game?
We have 8.
Mario is in the game. Yes.
Is it Super Mario Run?
Yes.
Yay.
Super Mario Run.
We had a few more questions there.
We still have more questions.
You can ask them.
Do I tap to jump?
You already know the game.
Only play this game for an hour. So,
did it come out on Android?
This is a new situation for us where Tina and I won, but Mark didn't.
That's true. Lost. I threw out the
first ever on GameScoop history.
Hot, is it made by Nintendo? Question.
Uh huh.
2016.
Yeah, you really brought us home with that one, though.
So when you tally this in the GameScoop wiki, just remember.
Make sure. Yeah.
That one, unfortunately, it hasn't been updated in over a year, but
it's fine.
I think at
we're
that point, people
back.
Were wondering if it was Blue Dragon or if it was Super Mario Run, and Blue I Dragon. Feel like I brought it home.
Dan, did you have a guess?
Yeah.
Still
asking questions. Is it Sonic 06?
Super Mario Run was released in 2016, but Sam, how should I have answered the question? Is it a handheld game?
Yes, it is a handheld game.
It is handheld. You consider
like
handheld.
The, yeah, when people, like, yeah.
If you go by
handheld?
Like, if you go by Jeff Keighley's handheld mobile game award.
Well, let me say this. You said yes, and then we got it. So yeah, you did a good job.
I didn't want to mislead you because people think Game Boy or DS, 3DS.
Right.
Yeah.
I think mobile is just one of those handhelds. Sometimes people forget about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So mobile is handheld gaming.
Yeah, because the whole not on Wii U, not on Switch. I was like, what the hell else could it be?
Yeah.
Mobile.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got there.
Good thing I asked that question.
Yeah.
Good job, everybody. Thank you for the suggestion, Matt Ford in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Mark, hit us with that address one more time for GameScoop 500.
Live.eventbrite.com. GameScoop 500 live at .eventbrite.com.
Yeah. One more time without messing
GameScoop
with no error.
500 live.eventbrite.com.
And do you want to take a guess on 20 questions? You want to see, what
me?
Game? Yeah. Do you want to take a guess?
What am I guessing?
The game.
Of that's going to be at the live thing?
No.
Oh, okay.
Today's game.
I'm so confused.
That is all the scoops.
He's at have. Negative points
is
now.
It Fallout Shelter?
That is all
that's
the
a
scoops.
Mess. It's on mobile.
It was on handheld.
It wasn't Fallout Shelter.
You were.
We got there.
That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. If you're one of our U.S. listeners, enjoy your long weekend. Play some games. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Mark. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.